Well, welcome to class on Friday night. We have an incredible subject to cover, to start to cover tonight. We will not cover it all, okay? I am dealing in the ministry every week. There's not hardly a week goes by, or maybe I can't say a day goes by. I'm either getting a call, I'm getting a text, someone reaches out to me, a pastor, a parishioner, a person, and they're just reaching out. My prayers are not getting answered. Where is God? I've lived for God all these years, and I just can't get my prayers answered. Or, you know, I'm desperate. Okay, are you ready for this? I'm just begging God. I beg God, and I am pleading with God. I'm bombarding heaven, and I thought, my goodness, you must not have the Father I got. I mean, I raised my kids that if they wanted something, they just had to ask. I don't know how y'all raised y'all's.
They still ask.
Did you? Yeah. My son and dad said it. My son said, Dad, I'm flying to New York City. He said, do you need any kind of work to be done? Things that, you know, generally your son's going to do for you, you got to pay him and get it done. But I didn't raise my kids to beg me. And I can pretty much, is anybody around here, Melvin, did y'all raise Charity to beg y'all? I didn't think y'all did. Uh-uh. You didn't make your kids beg. You didn't make, so you, beg me a little bit more. If you'll beg me one more day, I'll get it for you. Come on. Get down on your knees and beg me. You think I'm funny tonight. We're in a situation that there is some wrong theology about how to pray. And I'd have to edit this right now, but my mama has got wrong theology. Now, she's a praying woman, but she's got a horrible theology, because just this week she called me and she said, now, son, I don't tell you everything, but you better be praying for your sister in Georgia. And then she said, now, I didn't tell Rick because he's on vacation. I said, well, I'm on vacation, you know, every day's vacation. No, I didn't say that. She said, you better start bombarding heaven. You better start begging God. I thought, I wanted to stop the road and pull over and say, Mother, but she's 82. And the Lord spoke to me years ago, said, Robert, it's not your assignment to change your mama. Because I'm having a hard time myself. It's your assignment to love her. Hello? So I love her. But now it's my assignment to change y'all. Yeah. To get y'all changed on some stuff, you know? And we don't beg God. I'm going to prove it to you with Scripture starting tonight. I am very troubled with what I'm dealing with in the ministry concerning just the prayer life of the church person, the believer, or the no prayer life. We got an issue today in the church on the lack of prayer. Now, boy, we got a lot of stuff down pat. But when you say, let's have a prayer meeting, or let's give ourselves to prayer, okay? Let's spend an hour in prayer this morning. Or can y'all meet me about 5:30 tomorrow morning for a prayer time? I mean, you just really dwindle the flock real quick there, okay? You really do. And all through the Scriptures, Jesus taught about prayer. And he taught about faith.
Yeah.
Faith, okay? I told our class yesterday morning that when he comes back, this was his words. When I come back, I'm coming back and I'm looking for a church. No. You will never, ever prove to me in the Scriptures that he's coming back looking for a church, because he isn't. He's not looking, coming back for someone that can sing like whoever, you know, and a robe choir and a big church down the road. And I mean, no, he's not. He said, when I come back, will I find faith on this earth? If he didn't think that when he comes back, that he's not going to find it, he would have never said that 2,000 years ago. Will I find faith? He's looking for faith today. He's looking for someone that will step into their faith life, into their prayer life, and to believe God for miracles to happen in their life. My children depend on us. There's not a week goes by. I mean, even last night, Paul is praying and talking to Sissy and Ethan. We keep it in front of our kids, praying for you, love you. My brother out in Texas that has just went through what our parents' nightmare, never wants to go through, the death of a child and finding him in the bed at 4:30 on that afternoon, calling me, screaming through the phone, and me going down there, flying the next day, walking them through a funeral thing, picking out the casket, the song, preaching my nephew's funeral, and the brother that's with us, Mark in Canada, that's Rick. And every week I talk to Rick about praying. He called me last week. He said, hey bro. He said, pray, I need your prayers today. I said, yeah, what's coming out? He said, I'm loading cows. And he said, I got four wild ones. He said, they're like wild deer. And he meant that. He meant that. He knows we're going to pray about it. Will I find faith on earth when I come back? Will I find people that are praying? Will I find a church that's on its knees? Will I find a church that's moving in the realm of the supernatural? Are you listening to me? Moving in the realm of the supernatural, presence of God, miracles taking place. Now, fasten your seatbelts. We have moved a long way from the original position of the church. I'm going to use this word, the stance. I used this one yesterday. I may talk about that later on. The stance of the church, the early church, okay? If I want to go back tonight, we won't get past point number one tonight, okay? But if you want to title it, it's 10 Conditions to Answered Prayer. But now, Paula titled her part yesterday. And she gave me the permission that I could preach tonight, and I appreciate that. Set that timer, Don. We're going to give it to her in a little bit, yeah? She titled her message, Removing Mountains, Receiving Miracles, okay? If you want to write that down, you can. That was good. That was good. Removing mountains, then receiving your miracle. Now, I titled my message yesterday, because I knew that I might get to do this tonight. I titled my message, number one, on how to remove your mountains. How to receive your miracles. See, you want your miracle, but you don't want to deal with your mountain. You want the blessing, but you don't want to go through the fire and the flood. Come on now. You want to shout and dance the aisles, but you don't want to pay the price in your prayer time and your word time and listening to God time. When I say this, I'm not picking on y'all. If it was 5,000 people, I'd be preaching that. But I'm not going to cut you no slack tonight, because that's the issue now. We got too much slackness in the church. We're cutting our people a lot of slack. We're raising a bunch of little Christianettes because we're preaching a bunch of little sermonettes. Did you get that? We need to give people the full load of the glory every Sunday we have church. Let me tell you what I appreciate about our pastor, Danny Slavin. Let me tell you, I don't know. I know I got to say this because of the genes that he has from Julie. And Julie is a praying woman and a seeking God woman. And Joel's an incredible man, though he's a stepfather. But we don't even consider that. He's the dad here, okay? But let me tell you, I don't know how one young man, how old's Danny, 43? 37. I don't know how one 37-year-old young man can be enveloped and develop so much in the Word that this young man is. It just blows my mind. It really does. And here's how he articulates the truth, and the people that are receiving it just blowing my mind. I am thankful that God is going to leave a remnant. Hello? I'll tell you what he is going to find when he comes back, Joy. He's going to find some believers.
Yes,
oh, yes. He's going to find a church that is alive and well. Come on now. I'm talking about the real true church. The core church is going to be alive and well and prospering and blessed and highly favored and seeing miracles and seeing blessed things. I'm not talking about the worldly church, the church that has sold itself to the world. I'm talking about a church that's on its knees, a church that's praying, a church that's seeking God. That is the church that Jesus Christ is coming back for when he raptures. He is not coming back for a beheaded bride. He is coming back for a bride that is spotless, without wrinkle or blemish, that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I don't know about y'all, I'm in that church. Yeah, I'm in that church. They said, what church you belong to? I'm in the church Jesus is coming back for. I mean, every week somebody, they'll talk to me and they'll find real quick. I just go ahead and let them know I'm a preacher. They get nervous on me. I let them talk a little bit. I mean, they get nervous when I tell them that. Oh, I wish they wouldn't have said those words. I said, well, I'm not holding you accountable to those. God is. Yeah. But he's coming back for churches that's going to be ready. I mean, he would be totally an aborted rapture if he doesn't have a church that's ready for that. So stay ready. Stay with all in your lamp. Stay prayed up and be ready to go up. And the way you can do this, we're going to start. The Bible teaches us that there's conditions. There are ways to get our mountains out of our life that we can have the miracles to come in there. Answered prayer. That is, I think this is one of the biggest issues that a person's facing today. How do I get my prayers answered? How do I know God's listening to me? How do I know that even God cares for me? Does God know where I am? Does God know what I'm going through? Does he know what I'm facing? And we constantly think that we have to remind him. We feel like it's our obligation. Now I'm picking on my mama tonight. I'll be talking to my mama. And she said, son, I was up this morning at 6 o'clock begging in a bombard in heaven. And I told God, I thought, whoo, man, I get real careful when someone says, I told God. I thought, man, we got to be careful about telling God like he don't know. I mean, are you kidding me? No, we don't even have to remind him. Wait a minute. You're going into heresy. I'm going to give you a scripture for it, okay? And Paul can look it up, okay? The Bible says the Father he knows, King James, the Father knows what you have need of before you ever ask. But he likes for you to ask. His way, oh, I heard that Holy Spirit. His way of getting you what you desire is through asking him. Okay? Ask, he wants to be asked. Because that's the parental way of our Heavenly Father. I don't know about y'all. I'm at 63 and I'm able to do some of this. I love it when I feel like my kids need something from me. I do. I mean, I'll call them, y'all need anything? I'm telling you, my son just had a trip and I had a little money stuck back and he said, Dad, I need to do some work for you. I said, let me help you here. Come on down to the lake house and do the stuff down there and do the internet and hang the TVs and you, but you're not working for me. Okay. I'm not paying you to do that, but I'm going to give you $500 for your trip because I'm your daddy. Do y'all get my drift? If your kids are constantly working, oh, I heard that Holy Spirit. If your kids are constantly working for you to pay them, there's a wrong relationship there. That is no more different than us thinking we have got to constantly be working for God to bless us. You've moved from grace into works. Amen? Everybody on board with me tonight? Somebody said, well, this is a little different than I thought Friday night. I thought you just love on us. We've been away for a while. No, we just need to hear the word tonight about how do we get the mountains moved in our life. And the biggest thing, how do we get our prayers answered? How do we know that God is up there hearing us and going to answer our prayers? Well, let's read what the Bible said, okay? The Bible tells us and it's Mark 11, okay? Okay? Mark 11, and it's 22-24, okay? Mark 11, 22-24. Miss Paula, read verse 22 for me. I read it for her yesterday. She gets to read it for me. Number one, stop right there. How work? Here we go. Okay. 10 conditions. I'm going to reverse it. How do we get our miracles? We can talk about how to get the mountains moved later. Okay. Number one, where is your faith tonight? What is it? Who?
In God.
Okay. Now, somebody help me. Have the faith of God. That's what the original said, have the faith of God. Have faith in God. Now, how big is he?
He holds the waters in his hands.
How big is your God? How big is he?
He spoke
the universe.
He
spoke the universe into existence. That's pretty good. Pretty big. That's a pretty big being right there. Well, the writer said, have faith in this person that did that. Anybody else can think of anything else that God ever done? Come on. Did he part the waters?
Yeah.
At the Red Sea? How was he working in the lion's den? Was he in the fire furnace? How about the 40 years in the wilderness? Did the clothes get old? Did the shoes wear out? Did they have food? Did they have water?
Turn the sun back 10 degrees.
That's pretty hard. You can run it forward. We're not running it backwards. That's who God is. See, oh, hallelujah. The number one reason, I think, not in my notes, that we have an issue with God hearing us, Melvin Barnes, we don't fully have an understanding of who he really is. Did you hear what I just said? The reason we have a struggle, reason the church has a struggle, reason believers have a struggle, they do not understand fully on who God really is or should be in their life, and therefore it comes from not having the relationship that person needs in their life towards God. Okay? This is bigger than I'll ever preach, and Paula, the rest of this year, but we're starting it tonight, okay? We're going to put the other one on hold for a little while. But let me tell you, number one reason that people are having issues that cannot understand why God doesn't, they don't fully understand who God really is. They don't understand his, not just his power, not just how he can work, but just understanding who God is. Not to the universe, not to the people in China, not to the people in Michigan, not to the people in Florida, not to the people in California, not to the people in Massachusetts. Who is God to you tonight? Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Who is God to you tonight? Have you talked to him today? What has he told you lately? I couldn't sleep last night and I plugged the Bible in, Isaiah 10. I just plugged her in, let her read to me. I don't know, it just finally went off. It read so long, and I think I went off too. But I tell you, I didn't turn the TV on. Definitely don't want to turn on the debates. I mean, that's, a debacle. It's not a debate. It's a debacle. And I said, don't want to do that. I said, don't want to turn the TV on. I just turned Isaiah 10 and my phone just got to listening to the word, listening to the word, listening to the word, listening to the word. I'm telling you, that is how you build relation. Every morning when I'm having my coffee, having my prayer time here at the lake in a hotel room. What am I doing? I'm investing my time with my Father, and I'm understanding what my Father is saying to me. And that's why Jesus said, oh, let me tell you, He said, if you've seen me, you have seen my Father. Because I and my Father, we're just like that right there. Amen. I want to help you understand tonight, it's all right for you and God to be just like this. You're not going to scare Him by you wanting to be close to Him. It may have been Pastor Danny. I was listening to a pastor. And he was talking about people in your life in a room. How close do you feel comfortable? And who they? And they had names for that person that was 4 feet from you. And they had names for the person that was six feet from you. And eight people and 8 feet and 20 feet. And who they were. How close are you comfortable with God being in your life? Are you willing to let Him tell you what you can't do and can do? Are you willing to let Him tell you where you can go and can't go? Are you willing not to have it your way? Amen. Oh yeah, it gets quiet, don't it? Because see, we got a worldly church that was like old Blue Eyes. I did it my way. I would have liked to have asked him, how'd that work out? How does that work out? What did it say, Paul? That very part of that verse, what did you say there? You're reading it? The very first part said, have faith in God. Have the faith in the original. It said, have the faith of God. Who do we have our faith in? Who do we have our trust in? The Bible says, woe unto them. Are y'all ready for this? Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help. Woe unto you. Abraham went down to Egypt, come out with things he didn't need, and cost him trouble all of his life. Abraham went to the flesh. Instead of going to Sarah, he went to Hagar. He had Ishmael. And that problem is still well alive in the Middle East. You can't lean to the arm of the flesh. Don't trust in chariots. Horses and chariots. It didn't say you're not going to need those in the battle. You're going to need horses and chariots in the battle, but don't put your trust in them. Where do you put your trust? You put your faith in God. Okay? In God. Your faith in God, okay? I'm going to divert now and go to Hebrews, where we was reading yesterday, Paula, 11 and 1. Hebrews 11 and 1. And it's a very familiar, very familiar scripture, okay? Hebrews 11 and 1, because I've got about 21 more minutes here, and I'm just not going to end there. So, okay, 11 and 1, and what does it say? What are we talking about tonight? How do we get our prayers answered? Okay, I'm going to help you something. Holy Spirit whispered to me early yesterday morning before daylight, said, everything you've ever received from me, speaking about God, you have received it through faith. What I'm about to say now, listen to what I'm about to say. Everything that you have received from me, I've received some things from other people. Okay? It may not have taken faith to get that. But everything I received from God, it took faith to get it from Him. Because you must first realize that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Well, I got to beg Him. That don't sound like that verse says that. Doesn't say at all that you got to bombard. Doesn't say you got to beg God. He said, I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. He said it's as simple as this. He said in Matthew 7, he said in 7 and 7, he said it's simple as this. All I want you to do is ask. All I want you to do is seek. All I want you to do is knock. We're the ones that's complicated this deal, and we have trained the church that they've got to beg God, they've got to bombard heaven, they've got to scream, pull their hair out, throw the chairs up and down, kick the dog. I mean, we got to do something to get God's attention. Well, you got to go all the way back to the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, but that's what they were doing. They were cutting themselves, jumping up and down, throwing dirt in the air. I mean, jumping on each other, slapping each other. Surely God's up there. I love what Elijah said. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's gone on a vacation. Maybe he's far off. Why can't God hear us? I'm dealing with this every week now in the ministry. I'm dealing with pastors. Way back when, I preached sort of like this one night. I was sitting in the customized built trailer in Napanee, Indiana, pulling with a customized truck. Just went to bed. Hadn't I got to bed at 1 o'clock? It's like 1 o'clock. We visited with the pastor. And just got to bed, and I heard someone beating on my door, on my trailer. So, I mean, I wasn't in the best part of town. A lot of the churches I preached for then wasn't in the best part of town. One thing I'm good about this, Melvin, I'm so glad that we've kind of moved up a little bit where we're located. Because there were some places I preached, my trailer was longer than the church, Melvin. I mean, Larry, I got stories I've been telling you for years. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have a storytelling night on Friday night. I got stories tonight that you'd just laugh and then you'd cry and then probably you'd get scared. Beating on my door at 1 o'clock. We're in the best location. I said, you know what? I better pull my partners out to check this door, my little Smith and Wesson, see who's here. No, I didn't. I looked through the window and said, it's the pastor. He said, can I talk to you a little bit? I said, well, sure. I'm preaching for you. Come on in. He no more sit down on my couch in my trailer and he pointed his finger at me. He said, you're out here preaching faith to my church, telling them to reach out by faith and receive their miracle. I've done that. I pulled my hand back so many times, it ain't nothing but empty. Mm-hmm. I thought to myself real quick, Holy Spirit didn't even tell me this revelation, Karen. I didn't have an aha moment from God, Darlene. I just realized then, I can't fix stupid. I can't fix stupid. This is stupid. I can't fix this. You can't fix stupid. So I just let him talk. And I finally said, are you through? He said, I'm ready to go back to bed. Why I'm going to try to contest that? I just preached a house down. I just preached that. It wasn't very long. The guy's caught in the parking lot with a woman in the front seat that ain't his wife. Backslid out of the ministry. Got back to the Lord. I didn't tell Paul this. Got back into the Lord and sent me a friend deal on Facebook 2 weeks ago. Want to be my friend. I want to send him back a message. Have you fixed stupid yet? You laugh at that. I've dealt with it in this house with evangelists saying, Robert, it just doesn't work that way. I said, then you're telling me this Bible is a lie and God has not told the truth and he ain't going to live up to what he said. Then I'm going to shut the doors and I'm going to put a funeral home out here because this word don't work anymore. I'm here to tell you the word is working mightily in me and it's alive and well. God hadn't changed, we changed. You can get your miracles. You can get your healings. You can get your vehicles. You can get your houses. You can get your mate if you need one. You just got to learn. Click. Getting back to where I started. Click. You got to know the combination. And this Bible gives it to us. And number one little tumbler, you got to have faith. I told you I'm not going to have time to preach all this. Because let me tell you, that first little tumbler, the Bible says, Without faith, it is impossible. So you can't go no further. Don't tell me how great your preacher preaches. Don't tell me how great your church is. Don't tell me what kind of car he drives. Or he's a multi-millionaire. That don't mean a hill of beans. Can he get a hold of God and bring a miracle down and healing in people's lives? We got a major issue of Hollywood in the pulpit today and people living in the pew just like Hollywood. And we don't need that anymore. We need men of God today. When I turn on Brother Jensen Franklin, I get excited because that man, to me, he sets me on fire. I love Brother Jensen Franklin. Why? Because he lives what he preaches, and he preaches what he lives. So how do we get this done? Have faith in God. So now is faith is now. Now is faith. It's a now faith. What does it say, Paula?
Now faith is
the substance. Write that word down, substance. I was sitting where Cheryl sitting right there. I call her Cheryl. Cheryl in the chair. Right there yesterday morning, Paula's preaching. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me on this verse, and I'm writing it down on the back of this paper, okay? I'd never seen this, the word substance. Now, some of you may know what that means, you know. You don't want to get pulled over for that, that's for sure. I think the church probably needs to get pulled over and see how much substance they got. Is there substance in their singing? Is there substance in their sermons? Okay? Substance. Anybody know what that means? Somebody help me. Jump in here. What do you think that word substance means there? Substance.
Proof.
Substance. Physical matter. You know, so that is the scientific term, okay? But I love how he breaks this down. This is coming from the Wikipedia and also probably a mixture of Webster. Being, okay? Essence. Okay? I can't go to the next one until I say this. Okay, let's take the word sub, S-U-B. Okay, sub. 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 Anybody want to go for that one? Just the word sub. Don't think about the one you're going to eat tomorrow, okay? Thank you. Submarine. Beneath the water. Submarine. Okay? What else did we say, anybody, in our listeners yesterday? Submarine. Anybody else got any notes what we said? Sub.
Subway.
Yeah. Like you eat. Yeah. Okay. Let's go back to Genesis.
Like a train under the earth.
Yeah. Subway. Thank you. Subway. That means, and what does that mean, Claude? It means
below the surface.
It's a way that is below the surface. It's subway, okay? Go back to Genesis. The snake, the serpent, was the most subtile. Are you listening to me? Subtile, below the floor. Can I help you tonight? The enemy is not going to fight you fair. He's going to hit you below the belts. Because he's subtle than any beast. You cannot deal with him. Be not ignorant of his devices. So substance. Stance. Somebody help me with that. Yes. Stance. Football. Thank you. The way you, yes, posture, stand. I could ask Ken, like the foot coach would say, give me a 3-point stance right there. Don't do it, Ken. We may have to pick you up. You know. He'd say, give me a 3-point stance, okay? That don't mean 4. Mark, you play football. What do you mean? 3-point stance. You get down. Here you go. 3-point stance. You know, you're not on 4. You're a 3-point stance. That's your stance. It is your foundation. Are y'all getting this? Faith is your foundation. Substance. What are you standing on? Standing on the promises. Paula was here. They get her to sing it. She left. We used to sing it, standing on the promises, and most people now are just sitting on the premises. My anchor holds the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Where's your foundation tonight? You got to go back to God. Because about to shout right now. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. So you can't move past God. He's got to be the number one person to get your miracles. If man gives you a miracle, it's a man-made miracle. That's going to be a problem down the road. But when God does it, everybody's going to know it's a miracle. Everybody knows it's going to be a miracle. So, okay, now faith is the substance. It's the foundation. It's what we're standing on. No wonder Paul said, none of these things move me. Death doesn't move me. Life doesn't move me. Things present doesn't move me. Things to come doesn't move me. Nothing moves me. Nothing moves me. I will not be moved. We used to sing that song, and I believe a lot of them still live that way in some ways. I shall not be moved. Okay, planted like a
tree.
Planted by the waters. Now, this was old time holiness, and a lot of you don't know what I'm talking about, okay? But we'd sing it. I shall not be, and it'd get excited. I shall not. I wish we had some of that a little bit more. I ain't gonna be moved. Nothing's gonna move me. Cancer doesn't move me. Sickness doesn't move me. Death don't move me. Fear don't move me. You gotta find out what's moving you, because you gotta turn out whatever's moving you, and you gotta turn it over to God, because it ain't moving God. How do I receive my answers from God? Number one, you have got to have faith in God. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. You've got to understand that God, if it's good, it's you. It's you. Well, I've been begging God for 20 years. You know what they're saying? That it's His fault. Yeah. Come on now. Don't you quit me now. It's His fault that I ain't got my prayers answered. It's God's fault that He ain't healed my children. It's God's fault my kids are lost. It is not God's fault at all. You haven't learned how to get your miracles from God. Amen. And I'm going to turn a page. Are y'all ready for this? And this going to just go, you're going to start another church. Are y'all ready? You've left every bit of it up to Him. And you're saying, God, I wish You'd move. And God is really saying, I wish You would move. Well, Mark, let's play. We'll just play chess here. Here's him. I don't play chess, but we're just going to play chess. And we got law. Excuse me, darling. We're just going to play chess, and we're just playing chess here, and we're playing chess here, and we're playing chess here. Let's play checkers. He probably knows how to play checkers, man. You know, checkers. And we're just playing checkers. And Mark hears the door slam. What are you going to do when you hear the door slam over here? You're going to do what? What are you going to do it? I'm moved. What are you going to do? Mark turns around and said, Robert, come on, it's your move. I said, are you kidding me? I've already moved. You had your head turned. You wasn't paying attention. I've already moved. It's your move now. It's your move now. It's your move now. You know what God's saying to us, Melvin? It's our move. I can't move anymore. I done sent my son. I had Him crucified. He's died. He's resurrected. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon Him. By stripes you were healed. What else can I do? I've already moved. It's time for you to move. Yeah. how to move your mountain. It ain't God's mountain. That ain't God's mountain. That's your mountain. You're going to move it. Read your Bible. He said, say to that mountain, you cast into the sea. Who's going to move it? I'm going to challenge you to read your Bible next week. Only read about the 29 noted miracles that Jesus did. He only did 29. That's all he did. That's all he did that we read about. He did a whole lot more. John said books, the world couldn't hold the books. It was written about what he did. We know that. But in this, four writers, there's only 29 noted miracles. 86% of those miracles were predicated by the individual. I'll break that down where you can understand what that means. It's just very simple. As your faith is, so be it unto you. As your faith is, as your faith is, so be it unto you. As your faith is, be thou whole. As your faith is, he turned around to that daughter that had got out of the bed when she heard him coming down the street, and she had been with many physicians, and she had wasted all of her money. She was wasted physically. She was wasted emotionally. She was wasted financially. She was wasted intellectually. She was wasted every way, but she knew the one walking down the street would change her waste to healing. And when she heard, and that's where it is, faith comes where the will of God is known. And you cannot have faith unless you hear the word. And you cannot hear the word except there be a preacher sent to you. Or a word sent to you. Guys, do you understand how powerful this is? And she crawled through the crowd. She's weak. She's emaciated. She's probably weighs 80 pounds. She has spent many years suffering many things. And she said, if I can just touch, not him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I ain't got to touch him. She said, I will be made whole. And the Bible said she come from behind. Oh, they had already, Jesus had already passed, and she's having to move people out of the way. She's crawling in the dirt. She's got down low. She's on her elbows. She's pushing dirty feet away, and she lunges. And she grabs a hold of him, and all of a sudden there was the Spirit of God moved inside of him, and he felt something move out of him. And he said, somebody touch me. And Peter said, well, Lord, we got people running you. We're your bodyguards. They're bumping us. They're bumping you. He said, I'm telling you, no. What did he say? I felt virtue leave me. Oshehebo kushma adeste. Libe kolobushma aledeste. I felt virtue. It is not going to take greater songs. It is not going to take greater preachers. It's going to take the virtue of God flowing into our lives, His virtue. And he turned around and he said, daughter. He didn't say lady. He didn't say woman. He initiated her into the body and said, daughter, daughter, daughter. Your doctors have made you whole. What did Jesus say to the woman? What did he say?
Faith.
Whose faith?
Hers.
You're waiting and saying, God, would you please move for me? And you turned and looked at the truck go by. And when you turn back and you're still telling God to move and said, God said, I've already moved. I moved at Calvary when I sent my son and he died and he shed his blood and furrows built up his back that the seeds of healing might be planted. He's resurrected for your justification. He is sitting on the right hand of me right now. What else can I do? It's already been done. I don't understand people coming and saying you got to beg and plead with God because I'm not getting my prayers answered. There is something wrong in that theology, my friend. I'll tell anybody that. It is not right. We got to believe that He is. And that's the issue. I said it a while ago. We don't have a clear picture of who our Father is. Larry, there's a God that loves us. I want to get to it tonight. Because it's back where we started in Mark. Whatsoever things you desire. Desire. Not need. Not want. He said, I love you so much that when you're praying, whatsoever things you desire, you shall have them. Praise God. Powerful tonight. Powerful tonight. I want you to go out of here with your faith strong, believe in God. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I am healed. I am the healed. I am the healed. I am the, you are the healed. You are the healed tonight. But you maybe have been feeling physical situations. I am here declaring over you tonight, sitting in this room, you are the healed. Yes. Amen. You are the healed. Amen. You are the healed by His stripes. Whose stripes? The work that's already been done. Believing that God instituted this by giving His Son. God so loved the world. That's what we've been teaching on for months. It is done. It is done. It is done. You just got to rest in what's already been done. Don't beg. Don't plead. Yeah, just rest. Don't have to get up tomorrow morning and say, Lord, I'm reminding you this morning. I'm still waiting on you to move in my life. He just wants to thump you. He's already moved. It's your turn. As your faith is, so be it unto you. As your faith is, so be it unto you. As your faith is, so be it unto you. Praise God. I love this. It's pretty good stuff for Friday night. Amen. This is going to help you next week. Now, this ain't fluff and this ain't Tippins pie. I love them. This ain't fluff and meringue tonight. But let me tell you, when you're beating your lips on hell next Wednesday, when the devil's got you backed in a corner and he's spitting down fire in your throat, you're going to look back and say, oh, you shut your mouth. Yes. Because the substance is, I'm standing on the firm foundation, and hell can't move me, and death can't move me, and sickness can't move me, and cancer can't move me, lying can't move me, nothing's going to move me. Why? Because I am on the foundation of Christ, and it cannot be moved. And I'm not moving off this. And boy, there's a Heavenly Father's going to step in there for you. He said, you know what? There's something coming that's manifesting, going to manifest here. I'm going to give you this verse. You're going to love this one. I sent this to Paula this past week. Something was being said in our discussions or whatever. And I sent her a verse. I said, after you have done the will of God, you have need of patience. Yeah, she sent real back. She said, you know what? It's the truth. But boy, that one hurt. Because I get tired of people coming to me and say, Robert, I've done the will of God. Why is hell broke loose? I said, well, why not? You think He's just going to roll over? You think He's just going to roll over and play games with you? He's after one thing, and that is to take you to hell. Understand your enemy. That's another message. I heard that one. We got two problems now. I just thought about it. Yeah. We don't know who God is, and we don't know who our enemy is. And we find out both who they are, we're going to be winners on both sides. Find out who God is. Find out who the devil is. And understand that you done read the last book of the Bible. And I'm like Joel Osteen. I'm going to say, oh, let me tell you, this is my Bible. I believe what it says it is. This is my Bible. I'll tell you, this is my Bible. And I believe what it says it is, and I do what it says it does, tells me to do, and I get what it says I can have. And if you'll do the same thing, this will change your life forever. Don't you let anybody water your gospel down. Don't you let them mix it with something else. You want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you're going to a place that you're not getting that, I'm going to warn you, go get that, get out of that place as fast as you can. Because they're not going to help you. They're not going to help you when your child's dying. They're not going to be there when your kids are going through divorce. It's not going to help you. You want someone that'll stand up and say, thus saith the word of God, this day, it's over. You're 24 hours away from a miracle. God's going to turn this thing around. I love men of faith. I love people that don't back down. That's why I like our president as much as I do. As much as they hate him, I love him. He may not be the most ethical thing. He may not be the most godly thing. But I want to tell you one thing. He ain't going to back down. And that's the issue now. We've been backing down way too long. And I got news for the devil, Larry. I have backed down my last time. I have left my pea patch, this is my pea patch, and he thinks he's going to get it, it's over. And every now and then, I'll say, hey, big guy, hey, just want to remind you, I'm in prayer, hey, just want to remind you, your days are numbered, and I done read the last chapter of the book, and boy, you think you've had it bad before? When you got kicked out of heaven, wait till you get kicked into the lake of fire and you're going to be there forever. You got some bad days ahead of you, devil, and you need to tell him that versus him telling you that you got some bad days ahead of you. Well, I'm going to quit. Amen. It's good stuff tonight. Amen. We need strong word preaching today. We don't need a bunch of sissies in the pulpit, dressed like sissies, looking like sissies, talking like sissies, walking like sissies. Give me a man of God that can get up there and open the Bible and preach me the fire. Praise God. Praise God. This is good stuff. Good stuff. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We didn't even get past number one tonight. But there is a way to get our prayers answered, Father. You are so willing to meet our needs. Give us our desires. Change our lives. Heal our bodies. Give us our miracles, Father. It's time that we step up in faith, Lord. We step up and step out in faith, Lord, and believe you that God, you've already moved, and we receive, and we're just waiting for manifestation. Praise God. We're waiting for manifestation of the sons of God is what the Bible said. Praise God. Lord, thank you. Thank you and thank you. Turn to somebody right now and tell them your miracle is right on the way and around the corner. Right on the way and around the corner.